Well, I want to talk to you ladies tonight about lining up with the will of God. And we're going to talk about David. So turn with me in your Bibles. How many of you have your Bibles? Woohoo! Great. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. And I'm going to read through verses 13. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Verse 9. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "Well, there remains one, yet the youngest, and there is he keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of the oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Now, ladies, I want to talk to you about aligning ourselves up with God, because that is the only way that we can stand against the giant. And there's preparation. And I know that all of us in this room are in preparation. And David, of course, he was in preparation. But I want you to look. God is not looking on appearance. How beautiful you are, how tall you are, how short you are, how skinny you are, how fat you are. He doesn't care. He is not looking at that. He is looking at your heart. He is looking at your hunger. He is looking at your obedience to him. That's what he's looking at. And we see that Jesse chose wrong. He chose wrong. His opinion was wrong. And it might be that maybe your own opinion of yourself is wrong. Or maybe your opinion has been influenced by someone around you, someone in your past, maybe someone in your present. And the way that they treat you, it's hard to rise up and to say, "I agree with you, God," because it seems that somebody else's opinion has a stronger influence on you than God. And God is not looking at their opinion. He's looking at your heart. It doesn't matter what they think. It matters that God chose you. I want to give you a story. It's a true story. Probably all of you know this woman, Chris Kane. And she's a powerful evangelist from Australia. And so Chris, a few years ago, you know, she'd already traveled all over the world and preached to thousands. And she's such an evangelist and bringing people to Jesus, a powerful woman. But she was in Australia. She was in her mother's home. And she saw these papers on her mother's table. And her mother wasn't there. And so she started looking at these papers. And she began to understand that she was adopted. Now she's like 35 years old, and now she finds out that she's adopted, and she finds out that her brother's adopted. Well, her mother gets home and she says, "Am I adopted?" She said, "Yes, honey, you are. I'm sorry. I just never thought that I should tell you, but yes, you're adopted." And she began to tell the story. And Chris said, "Well, is my birth mother alive?" She said, "Yes, she is." And Chris said, "Well, I want to see her." Her mother said, "Well, you can if you want." And so Chris went to the house where her birth mother was. So Chris got there, and her birth mother was there. And Chris said, "I'm your daughter. I just wanted you to know me. I wanted to know you. I wanted to see you. I wanted to know you." And her mother, birth mother, said, "I didn't want you the first time I saw you in my life, and I don't want you in my life now." Well, Chris, of course, she knows the word of God, but what a wound. What a wound. And the Holy Spirit brought to her that God chose her. Before the foundation of the earth, she was chosen by God. Her mother didn't choose her, but God chose her. And that's what I want to say. It matters that God chose us. That's what's important. But here is David, and he is, of course, the last one to come. You know, Jesse chose wrong. I don't know how many times the name Jesse, his father's name, is in the Bible. I didn't look it up. But the one that was rejected, his name is in the Bible 1,364 times. Even in Revelation. David's name is in Revelation. You see, man was wrong, but God was right. Now, little David, he doesn't know that he's just been chosen by God. He doesn't know that. All he knows is sheep, knows how to play the harp, knows how to worship God, and he knows how to kill bears and lions. This is his preparation. So he comes, and I want to point out to you that in verse 11, Samuel says, "We're not even going to sit down until this man, this last son of yours gets here." So you can imagine all these brothers and the father and elders, because this was a big deal that Samuel came to his house. It was like the president coming to your house, you know that. And they didn't even invite David. And so now Samuel says, "We're not sitting down until this other son gets here." So you can imagine them all standing there waiting. Oh, sure, it's going to be the little one. And David comes, and Samuel knows this is the one. And he anoints him with oil. So it didn't matter about his father's opinion. It mattered about God's opinion. Amen. And God's opinion is higher and much more powerful than other people's opinions. And the important thing, ladies, is that we've got to line up with his opinion. And I want to say to you that someone might have another plan for you, but God's plan for you is higher. You know, I don't know a lot about chess, you know, the game chess, but I know that the queen trumps everybody. And And God's plan trumps anybody else's plan that has for you. God's plan trumps their plan. And so God is working. David doesn't know this. I told you, what David knows is sheep, God's presence, how to worship, harp, and he knows how to kill bears and lions. But this is the great preparation for David. But he doesn't know it. And I want to say that to you. And I think that would go for a lot of women in here, because you're so serious about the word. You're so hungry for the word. You so want to be faithful to the last breath that you take in your body. And that God is working a plan. You might not know what that plan is, but God's working a plan. And all we have to do is be faithful where we are and just keep preparing and keep preparing. And God will, he will make sure. Because you see, he's looking for vessels. And so when he sees that vessel, he says, oh, I'll take her. Oh, I'll take her. Oh, I'll take her. When we agree with him, when we agree with the plan. Amen. So God reveals his plan. It's David. It's the one that nobody chose but God. And now David is anointed in front of his brothers, his dad, and the elders. And it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Right? And so something so supernatural happened that day when David was anointed. I mean, actually, his life changes, because the one that was hidden with sheep is now raised before the eyes of the king. You know that when David got anointed, but he gets, I'm just making a joke, he gets a phone call from the king's house, we need you to come and minister to the king. But it didn't happen before he was anointed. And ladies, I want to say, the anointing, God's presence that is in us, that is on us, that is with us, yes, it's for us, but it's not just for us. It's for others. You are a lighthouse to everywhere you go. The power of God in you, the anointing on you, the call on your life, it's for others. And they so need what we have. That's why it's so important that we agree that we have it. That we agree, that we align up with God and say, God, I'm believing what you say about me. Jesus was anointed, you know that. It says in Acts 10:38 that God anointed Jesus. Why? To do good and to heal all those who were oppressed of the devil. God has anointed us for a purpose. God anoints you. It's always for others, to serve others. So the king had a need, and the one that got anointed is the one who got sent to the palace. And you know that when he played, that the devil would cease his activity, and he ministered to Saul. Well, let's look at David some more. Look at now go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And you know that, of course, the Philistines, they came to do war with Israel, and they stood on one side, all of them, actually for 40 days in trying to intimidate the Israelite army. And Goliath stood there, and he said, if you take me down, we will be your servants. But if I take you down, you will be my servant.
So for 40 days, this intimidation goes on and on and on. And so Jesse, he sends David to the battle with food. Okay? So David gets there, and he sees what's going on. But I want you to point out, David's vision is a little bit different. Because in verse 26 of chapter 17, listen to what it says. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They saw a giant, but David saw an uncircumcised Philistine who was defying the armies of the living God. And the people answered him, and in this manner saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now look at verse 28. When Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" And verse 30, then David turned. And you know, ladies, I want to say that when we start lining up with God, when we start saying, "Yes, Lord," there's going to be somebody with an opinion. So you get past your own opinion. Now, here comes another opinion. It always seems to be someone in authority. Well, his older brother was in authority. And here comes his older brother with such, to just put him down, to humiliate him, to scorn him, to make him as nothing. Who did you leave those few sheep with? You didn't come down here. You just came down to see the battle. You're a worm. What are you doing here? That's what he was saying to David. But David turned. Ladies, this means so much to me, this example, because if we're going to follow God, we're going to agree with him, if we're going to kill the giant, we're going to have to turn when the insults come, when the opinions come. Yes. Not fight, not argue, amen. But all he did, it just says he turned. You see, you've got something better to do than to argue with that person. That could cost another 2 years of precious time, your energy, your thought. But David, what an example he is to us. He just turned. And I believe that's what we have to do. It's just turn, not argue, not defend ourselves, just turn and continue on. Amen. With what God has put in your heart to do. Amen. So you see this lining up with God. It's not a one-time deal. It's an everyday deal. So he gets past Eliab. That's one opinion. Now comes Saul. Somebody who has really high authority. And Saul said to David, Saul just puts it out there. You, in verse 33, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he is a man of war from his youth." Now look at David, verse 34. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep." I think that's interesting. He said, "used to keep his father's sheep." I think he's sensing some kind of change going to happen. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and I struck it and I killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. David aligning himself up again with his own experience. And ladies, when we face the giant, we've got to remember what God has done in the past. Romans 5, verse 5, that experience makes hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Don't forget what God has already done. He's already been faithful. Amen? He's already been faithful. And David is recognizing that. And David is saying it. And David is saying it to the highest authority in the land, Saul. Do you see it? He's lining himself up with the plan of God. He's rejecting this opinion, rejecting that opinion, remembering what God has already done. I want to say, David didn't go after that giant with just a sling. He went after him with experience with God and trust in God. David had experience with God. Ladies, as you and I, we pour out our hearts to the Lord. I don't know how you do it. I don't know if you're on your face. I don't know what you do, but as we draw close to him and we go deeper with him, we are gaining experience with him. Amen. And there, it's natural. It's the will of God, because we are one spirit with him. Yes. He that is with the Lord is one spirit. You can't get closer than one spirit with him. And David has so much in him besides a sling and a rock. He has experience. Don't forget your experience. Now David has to face the giant. So David goes out there, and you know that Saul tried to put his weaponry on David. It didn't fit David. David said, no, I don't need this. And then David goes out to the giant. Verse 42. And when the Philistine looked out and saw David, he disdained him. He belittled him. For he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? He called David a stick. Now, I've been called a lot of things, but never a stick. He called him a stick. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beast of the field. Then David, verse 45, said to the Philistine, you come to me with the sword, with the spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give your carcasses of the camp of the Philistines, to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Hallelujah. He was going to glorify God. And when we defeat the giant, whatever giant it is, Christy, whatever giant it is, if it's bitterness, if it's sickness, if it's fear, it's giving glory to God. Whatever giant that we defeat, it's giving glory to God. It's shouting of who he is, that he is the God, that he is God. People are so searching for a way. They're so searching for answers. And they're looking to us to be the signpost that says, this is the way. This is the way. And you know, we can give our testimony. We can say, you know, I had this and I was that. And I want to tell you what God did in my life. There's nothing more powerful than your testimony to open the door to somebody's heart. So many times I've gotten facials in different places, and I say to the person, I say, I just want you to know that you're working on a miracle face. Because I had horrible cystic acne for 13 years on my forehead, my cheeks, and in my neck. And I took all kinds of pills, and I had dry ice treatments, and I did everything the doctor said, and I didn't get any better. I was like the woman with the issue of blood. I just kept putting my money out there and only grew worse. And I had no hope of ever being read of this. I was turned down from jobs. I was turned down from singing opportunities because of my face. And I was living in Houston. I heard on the radio a man named Kenneth Copeland. And he said, by his stripes you are healed. I'd been a Christian for a long time, but I never heard that verse. By his stripes you are healed. And when I heard that verse, hope came into my heart. And I want to show you what hope looked like. It meant, you mean I could be healed? You know, when you look at something for days and days and years and years and years, it looks pretty permanent. Or you feel something in your body for years and years and years and years. Or you take medication for years and years and years. It seems like it's permanent. But I'm telling you, hope came in my heart. And that's what I said to the Lord. You mean I could be healed? And I begin to confess God's word over and over, over and over, all through the day, looking in the mirror, looking at my face, and by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed. And in 2 months, a little over 2 months, nothing happened. I didn't see any improvement. But one night, I went to bed. I didn't know it. This was my miracle night. I went to bed with this horrible disease that I'd had for 13 years. I woke up the next morning. I went to the mirror, which was always what I did. Look in the mirror. And my face and my neck and my cheeks were completely clear, 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 clear. Clean, 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 clean. And in that night, that was my miracle night. I don't know if Jesus took 8 minutes. I don't know if he took 28 hours. I don't know if he took 15 seconds. I have no idea how long he took. All I know is I went to bed with the disease and I woke up without the disease. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, that was a giant in my life. But I have glorified God here and there and here and there and here and there because that giant fell down.
And I want to encourage you, ladies, you've got a testimony. Tell somebody it. If you were delivered from alcohol, drugs, or bitterness, or hate, or fear, tell somebody, because there's somebody out there that is in drugs, even prescription drugs. They're addicted to it. They're in misery. They're in shame. They're in guilt. They know it's harming their mind. They know it's harming their body. They need to hear from us. I just want to tell you that my God is real. He's real. He can do this for you. He did it for me. He can do it for you. He loves you. Bringing hope to somebody else. And that's pulling down that giant. And that, ladies, that's agreeing with God. That's agreeing that you are an instrument of His power. You are a witness of His power. That's agreeing with Him. So here's David. He's just told the giant, you know that. He's just told him that he's just going to take his head off of his shoulders. And you know what happened? David did a little sling, went in his temple, giant fell over, David cut off his head. Praise God. The world is waiting for us. The world is waiting for us to agree with God about who we are. We can't bow to our enemy. We have to fight. We're the ones with the greater weapons. We're the ones with the greater commander-in-chief and the greater plan, the greater comforter. God wants us to have experience with Him. And you know, ladies, I know every one of you have had some kind of battle at some time. And when you see God in that, He comes in your battle, and you believe Him, you know more about Him than you did before it happened. You know Him more. You experienced Him more. And we can't, God doesn't want us to just be able to just quote Bible verses and come to church and give our tithe. Praise God, giving your tithe. Hallelujah. He wants us to have experience. Oh my gosh. He wants us to have experience with Him. Can you imagine? Just think of Him, what He did for us. Just go to the Gethsemane if you just stop there. How He fought with His own flesh. He knew what was going to happen. And He said, I'll do it, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it, Lord. And then how He was displayed on the cross. How He was scourged. Blood coming out of Him, splattering everywhere. His muscles torn. And then He went to hell. He didn't do this so that we could quote a Bible verse. He did this. Yes, praise God, quote Bible verses. Quote them often. Amen. But He did it so we would know Him. Amen. That we would know Him. Yes. There's nothing greater than that we can do than to know Him. Because when we know Him, it's going to affect everything we do. It's going to cause us to be a better wife. It's going to cause us to be a better mother. It's going to cause us to be a better employee. It's going to cause her to be a better employer. It's going to cause us to be a better whatever. It's going to cause us to be better. Because He knows how to do it all.
And when we're there before him, he talks to us. And he says, don't do that anymore. Oh, don't say that anymore. Oh, I have an idea for you. Oh, this is going to make money for you. I mean, he knows it all. He knows it all. And so when we come before him, we come to a place that we could hear from him. That's one reason I love that song so much, because he said, and when I come and sit and I am still, you sit a while with me. What is greater on the earth than sitting a while with the maker of the universe? I want to close with one scripture, ladies. Oh, I wanted to say this because I thought this was amazing that God showed me this time. He showed me this afternoon that David is a first timer. We don't know. I never saw in scripture before that a 14 or 16 year old boy stood up against a giant. He was the first timer. He was the pioneer. If you're in your family and there's nobody else that knows Jesus but you, glory. You're the pioneer. You're the pioneer. You're the first timer. You're like David. The Shunammite woman, when her son died, she believed he'd be raised from the dead. Well, nobody'd been raised from the dead. How does she know that the man of God's going to raise him from the dead? She was a first timer. She was a pioneer. And we need to rejoice, ladies, and say, God, I take this place. I take this place of being the pioneer, because this is the place that you're calling me to. Do I feel worthy? Do I feel like I can do this? No. Do I feel any of those positive things? No. But you said I could. And I agree with you. So my last scripture, turn to 2 Timothy verse 4, chapter 4. Is this helping somebody tonight? Okay. Chapter 4. Oh, did I say 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is the Apostle Paul, and he is just about to get his head cut off. He's about to depart. He's about to set his sails. And I want to tell you, we were in Rome, and there's this one church, and it's dedicated to the death of Paul. And there's And the historians say that this is true, okay? So there's this big stump, it's not wide, but it's kind of tall, and it's like this, about this tall. And it's the stump that Paul put his head on, and they cut his head off. And historians say that Paul ran to the stump. He ran to lay his head on there because he was ready to go. He was ready to depart. So this is close to his departure, this scripture. He says, verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. And in the Greek, it's like this, not I have fought the good fight. It's the fight, I fought it. Amen. The race, I finished it. And the faith, I kept it. And ladies, this is our opportunity to fight the faith, fight the fight, to finish the race, and to keep the faith. And It's glorious to do that, but I want you to think a little further. Look at verse 8 again. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me. There are rewards. There are rewards. And they're forever. They're forever. If you're in a difficult situation, it doesn't seem to change, and you keep forgiving, and you keep forgiving, and you keep having long suffering, and you keep giving, it's not in vain. Jesus sees it. He's going to give you a reward. That reward lasts forever. Forever and ever and ever. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. I want to let you out by 9 o'clock, but I want us to give the Holy Spirit opportunity to what He wants to do. It's just... Let's raise our hands to Him. Father. 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 Father, by our own will, our own mouths, we did the best that we know. We turn from this opinion. We turn from our own opinion. And we line ourselves up with Your presence in our very bodies. We are hungry. We want to know Your will. God, love You, God. Father, God. Father, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we just trust You. We believe You're working in our hearts. We believe You, Lord. We give You the glory for Your plans, Father. Your plans, Your will. Your drawing. Hallelujah, hallelujah.